The MarTech Podcast is a proud member of the I Hear Everything Podcast Network. Looking to launch or scale your podcast? I Hear Everything delivers podcast production, growth, and monetization solutions that transform your words into profit. Ready to give your brand a voice? Then visit IHearEverything.com.
From advertising to software as a service to data.
Across all of our programs and clients, we've seen a 55 to 65% open rate.
Getting brands authentically integrated into content performs better than TV advertising.
Typical lifespan of an article is about 24 to 36 hours.
If we're reaching out to the right person with the right message and a clear call to action, then it's just a matter of timing.
Welcome to the MarTech Podcast, a member of the I Hear Everything Podcast Network. In this podcast, you'll hear the stories of world-class marketers that use technology to drive business results and achieve career success. Here's the host of the MarTech Podcast, Benjamin Shapiro.
Welcome to the MarTech Podcast. I'm your host, Benjamin Shapiro, and today we're going to discuss what drives SaaS success. Joining us is Randy Wooten, who is the CEO of Maxio, which is an industry-leading billing and financial operations platform for high-growth B2B SaaS companies. Maxio helps companies get funded and stay funded. Yesterday, Randy and I discussed how we can decipher the current state of SaaS, and today we're going to continue the conversation talking about how to make your SaaS business a must-have. All right, here's the second part of my conversation with Randy Wooten, the CEO of Maxio. Randy, welcome back to the MarTech Podcast.
It's my pleasure.
Excited to have you back on the show. And we were having a great conversation and I disrupted it in the middle yesterday because we were getting onto today's topic. So I pulled the ripcord. We were talking about deciphering the state of SaaS. We went from this growth at all costs to responsible growth phase, and the metrics for marketers and for SaaS business valuations have changed. Specifically, you were talking about the new CAC ratio, which you can spend about $1.20 to drive $1 of ARR. So you could actually spend more than what you're going to make this year and still be seen as running a successful marketing program. When we started talking about the channels that made a SaaS business distinct, recognizable, differentiated, you started getting into content. And to me, that's like the number one must have for a SaaS business. Asterisk, I am incredibly biased. I run a company that produces podcasts for mostly B2B SaaS businesses. But you started saying, look, you got to have some way to get your thought leadership out there. Talk to me about what makes a SaaS business a must have.
I guess it's the aspirin vitamin thing, right? Are you able to articulate a pain that someone is feeling in a clear enough way that they want to move from the current way of doing business to embrace yet another technology? So we sell to the CFO. CFOs do revenue recognition in SaaS, early stage SaaS, primarily with Excel. CFOs love their Excel. So trying to convince them to move from Excel to a system like ours, which costs a lot more than Excel, means you have to create several different conversations, the carrot stick. And I think part of the thought leadership that you're building is helping people understand where they may be exposed. So for example, revenue leakage. If you were to ask people how much of their revenue is leaking because they haven't sent out accurate invoices, they've missed invoices, or customers refuse to pay, you'd be surprised. The data shows something like 7 to 9% of revenue was lost because of a bad and inefficient invoicing billing process. You talk that to a CFO or CEO and like, oh my God, I could get revenue without having to go out and sign up new customers just by shoring up my process. That becomes a compelling idea. But to get there, you have to either partner with smart people to do the research or do the research yourselves and get it out into the market in a way where you find people. My biggest challenge is trying to find CFOs. When we used to sell to CMOs, I joke that CMOs would come to a dinner if it was just a good dinner. CFOs don't come to dinner because they want to stay home. So they'll come to dinner if you can find an interesting speaker, or you can guarantee there are other people who are going to be sitting at the table that they see as peers. So it's just a really, so how do you find CFOs? They don't really go to conferences. The big guys do, not the little guys. So you got to find them in their peer networks. You got to find them in their VC network. There's a group out there called F-Suite, which is like the CFO mafia. Like, how do you get in front of those people? It's by having distinctive point of view with interesting data, selling to a CFO, they care about data, in a compelling way. And that is all for me about thought leadership agenda, your pillars, the stories, the case studies, the podcasts, the content that you're producing and distributing across multiple channels that are more demand creation versus demand capture.
So how Maxio is thinking about making their product a must-have, you highlighted a couple different stages in the process. I'm a sucker for structure, so let me try to recap that because not everybody's targeting CFOs, but I think that the first thing you said is understand your target market and what their problems are, right? And if you can't isolate a discrete pain point that people are feeling, you're not going to be able to solve the problem for them. So having that match to an understanding of who, an understanding of what their problems, and having a solution that matches that problem is table stakes, right? And that's a little bit of product market fit.
Yeah, that's that buyer's journey. Hey, I've got a problem. Technology can solve my problem. And oh, hey, you, Maxio, are better than everybody else to solve that problem. The only caveat I'd add is I was reading this report from the B2B Institute. I think it's sponsored by LinkedIn. And they were talking about this idea of category entry points, which is more than just problems. So for example, someone needs to pass an audit. Someone needs to raise money. That isn't necessarily an articulated pain, but it's something like a CFO in this case is like, oh God, we're getting ready to go raise more money. I need to pass this audit and I want to have a clean investment. And that becomes another way of kind of getting into someone when they're coming into a category entry point. That's the only other dimension I'd add to that first stage you're describing.
Okay. So buyer's journey, understanding the pain point, product market fit, call it what you will, but matching who you're trying to help with a problem that they have and a solution. Then you mentioned, all right, well, how do I go find those people? So you've got this list generation or targeting problem. And then it's a question of how you're delivering the message so it's going to resonate. I noticed that you didn't say, how am I going to get my performance marketing in front of them so they click on something so I can recognize that they've been to my website so I can then track whether they've converted. Like you didn't talk about the demand capture part, which we talked about a little yesterday. This is all demand creation stuff.
Agreed. The way I would think about it, and we've gone through this at Maxio, is you got to be super disciplined about your ICP and within the ICP, who the persona is. We have two personas. We have the CFO and we also have the early stage founder. And understanding to your point, I think I love about sales and marketing in particular, it's like psychology. You got to figure out what is ticking in the person's head. What are they staying up at night about? How can you really address both the pain and then their aspirations, make them a hero? That leads into a conversation, I think, about positioning and messaging. And I think that's probably an underrated skill. We ended up working with Firebrick Consulting. Bob Wright engaged with him, who focuses just on B2B positioning messaging. I think it is so critically important to go out and do the research with a bunch of CFOs and see how your positioning is resonating with that target market. And they do it better than anybody else. I mean, there are other people out there that do it. I don't know them all, but I would highly recommend that. And every company I've been at in category creation, before crossing the chasm, you're trying to get those early adopter lead users. It's about positioning. It's about stories that you're telling, then the message that you're going to be telling them. Well, then you got to have the thought leadership pillars behind it. What's going to be compelling in that messaging specifically? And I think even before you get to where do you find them, that is a critical component of early stage B2B SaaS marketing.
A special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Mutinex. Ready to take your team from I think to I know? Then join brands like Samsung, ING, and Asahi who make better marketing decisions with Mutinex. Mutinex Growth OX, the marketing mix modeling platform that makes measuring ROI fast, easy, and cost-effective. Request a demo at mutinex.co. That's mutinex.co. Time for a one-minute break to hear from our presenting sponsor, Mutinex. In 1919, John Wanamaker said, "Half the money I spend on advertising is wasted. I just don't know which half." Well, the advertising landscape has changed since then, and instead of reaching your audience on two channels, you're probably reaching them on 20. Turns out John didn't know how easy he had it. But that doesn't mean that you should give up on striving towards marketing effectiveness. No matter how complex your marketing strategy is, Mutinex Growth OX is the market mix modeling platform that measures the impact of marketing on your bottom line. Mutinex's market mix modeling platform calibrates your insights against the latest market conditions so you can make media and marketing investment decisions confidently and quickly. Ready to take your team from I think to I know? Then join brands like Samsung, ING, and Asahi who make better marketing decisions with Mutinex. Mutinex Growth OX, your best decision starts here. To learn more about Mutinex, go to mutinex.co. That's mutinex.co. Okay, here's the rest of today's interview. So we're going through this process of figuring out a pain point, our target market, understanding the customer journey. In your case, building a list of CFOs who don't go to conferences. So you can't just show up and pay to be a speaker. Now you're creating content and trying to build awareness. You mentioned yesterday there's this problem of, you know, 5% of your market is ready to buy in market. Now you got to figure out some sort of a nurture or way to stay in front of them. What's the strategy there?
Coming back to that story about thought leadership, if you're providing, and for us, it's rooted in the Maxio Institute Growth Report. Every quarter, we're going to give you an update on what's happening in the SaaS industry. If you start reading that and valuing it, you're going to look forward to that on a quarterly basis. I think there are other pillars in which you could have snippets, vignettes. We have a thing called SaaSpedia. And SaaSpedia is for people who maybe aren't as familiar with SaaS operating metrics and how to think about it. And there's a whole series of different topics we share through YouTube, et cetera. Topics like LTV to CAC. We do partnerships with industry influencers like the Ben Murrays and the Ray Reichs of the world, and the Todd Gardners, where they are out talking to people and we're helping to elucidate different ideas within the broader SaaS operating metrics. So what we want is people to not just see our ads on Facebook or our ads in LinkedIn, but they have this association with like trusted advisor, that we're someone who really knows SaaS and we're going to help you protect your SaaS. So then when they're looking for that next step of growth, what we call the scale-up inflection point, when they're moving from one product to multiple products, or they're moving to multiple entities, or they're going to multiple geographies, and life has become really complex, and they're like, hey, I know that something out here could help, that Maxio then comes to mind.
So then you have the demand capture piece once you've built all that. Hey, that 5% that is actually in market, we should try to get them in the funnel and turn that demand into dollars. What are the must-haves there?
Well, I'm not going to say anything original here. I do think a lot of B2B SaaS companies get caught in what are called speeds and feeds, where what they want to do is in the first conversation, take you on a product demo and tell you how fast the product is or comparison. And I think what's hard is to find sellers who understand how to create and talk about value. And how do you align with a prospect in terms of the value? What are they working on? Again, sort of, we help CFOs build teams that are smaller than what they would need without us. So we had one customer who we use as a case study who was able to raise a Series A and Series B without any finance team. So as you start to frame, well, that's really different than just being a billing solution. That's a solution for scaling your financial operations. My CFO said that for the size company that we have with 2,400 customers, we would have a finance team of 11 or 12 people with a lot of billing specialists. We have a team of 7. So I think in the sales process, what you're trying to do is really elevate the conversation from just we can send out a bunch of invoices to the value that we're providing you in terms of your ability to scale, your certainty around your revenue. So the revenue leakage we were talking before. And period, new paragraph. One of the things I found being in M&A for 20 years and talking to some other folks, the number one deal killer is accounting errors. And it usually comes down to rev rec. So if you're a seasoned professional, you know, having your revenue MRR roll forward, your deferred revenue waterfall, like all of those things sorted out, ARR is the one thing that investors are going to look at. And if it's not clean, they're going to pass. And so I think, again, like how do you as an AE who's never run a company, never tried to sell a company, engage in a conversation with the CFO around that? We have to provide them a lot of materials. We got to provide them playbooks. We got to provide them content examples. Again, it's not the search term that's closing the deal. It's the augmented sales motion with sales and marketing working together through the funnel, from bringing them in the door to managing that conversation to helping to have a nurture campaign and webinars.
So you've got a sales-led demand capture motion. Do you think that businesses that are product-led have different challenges when it comes to making their business a must-have?
Well, one thing we're seeing is their usage-based, consumption-based models was all the rage I would suggest the future is hybrid, that if new companies start now, they'll try with a PLG motion, but they will introduce a sales-led motion at some point. It's just you will as you move up market. And that's what we see in our report. The Growth Institute actually shows that the implications of your go-to-market in terms of your growth rates, which I won't go into right now, the point you're making, a PLG company, yeah, it's all marketing. You don't have any salespeople. So how are you telling that story and getting people to come to your site?
Yet.
Yet, right. So I don't know. Maybe on the awareness fronts is a similar challenge. You need people to know who you are to come to your site. And the PLG motion, they're able to sign up for free. So I think there's perhaps less friction for initial trial. Often PLG is free trial that then you come in and try to convert. The sales-led motion adds friction because now you have a salesperson in. It's going to take a little longer. It's going to take a little qualification. It's probably 3 to 4 months to get up and running. So I think everybody is trying to streamline their ability to get customers up fast and reduce time to value. I know that's something we're doing. So moving more in that direction to PLG than just SLG only.
Randy, I'd love to continue the conversation. I want to be respectful of your time. I know you have a hard stop. I found this to be an incredibly insightful conversation. And my takeaway here, making your SaaS business a must-have, there is no silver bullet, but you have to hit each stage of the funnel, right? You have to have that underlying marketing foundation and connection between your customer, their problems, and your products. You have to be able to understand how to target them. You have to be able to reach them, and not just once with an ad, but consistently over time. And then you have to have that connection between your sales and your marketing team to turn those customers into revenue. When we say it like this, it sounds simple. Obviously, there's a lot of detail that goes into it. I appreciate you walking us through your thoughts on how to make SaaS business successful.
My pleasure.
All right, that wraps up this episode of the MarTech Podcast. Thanks for listening to my conversation with Randy Wooten, the CEO of Maxio, for joining us. If you'd like to hear more from Randy, you can find a link to his LinkedIn profile in our show notes. You can contact him on Twitter. His handle is RandyWooten3. That's RandyWooten, the number 3. Or you can visit his website, which is maxio.com, maxio.com. Just one more link in our show notes I'd like to tell you about. If you didn't have a chance to take notes while you were listening to this podcast, head over to martechpod.com, where we have summaries of all of our episodes and contact information for our guests. You can also subscribe to our weekly newsletter and apply to be the next guest speaker on the MarTech Podcast. Of course, you could always reach out on social media. Our handle is MarTechPod, MartechPod on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Or you can contact me directly on LinkedIn. My handle is Ben J. Schaap, BenJShap. And if you haven't subscribed yet and you want a daily stream of marketing and technology knowledge in your podcast feed, we're going to publish an episode every day this year. So hit the subscribe button in your podcast app and we'll be back in your feed tomorrow morning. All right, that's it for today. But until next time, my advice is to just focus on keeping your customers happy.
Thanks for listening to the MarTech Podcast, and I Hear Everything production. Looking to launch or scale a podcast like this one for your brand? Then visit iheareverything.com.